heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again for a glorious opportunity to be able to worship you and to be able to stand before you. We do not take your grace for granted, and we do not take lightly your endowment and your gifts towards us. Lord, we know that we have been specially favored to be partakers of what you are doing at this time. Therefore, Lord Jesus, we ask that you will polish us today in Jesus' name. Lord, you will build us up today in the mighty name of Jesus. You will refine us like gold today in Jesus' name. My Lord and my God, you will prepare us towards your coming. Lord, as you prepare us, oh Lord, we'll be happy listeners and we'll be happy doers of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, so that we can be of the same mind with you. Thank you, Jesus. As you open our understanding this morning, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please open with me to the book of Luke. Open to the book of Luke, chapter 18. And I'm going to read verse 1 to 8. And then, after that, we'll go to Jude, the book of Jude. And I will read verse 20 there. So, Luke 18. But before I go on, I have one or two things to say. The first thing is that the microphone I'm holding was purchased courtesy of the men in this church. During the Father's Day, they put some money together and were able to buy a very good microphone. Praise the Lord. And God will bless the men of this church in Jesus' name. As you sow towards the things of God, everything you need to be fathers, everything you need to be husbands, everything to need to play your role in life, God will supply it in Jesus' name. As we use the microphone to announce the glory of God and praise Him, the Lord will announce you in Jesus' name. So that is for the men. So I read from Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? That is hope for somebody this morning. I said that is hope for somebody here this morning. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's go to the book of Jude. We quickly look at verse 20. It's a very familiar verse. Jude, verse 20. He said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me read another version. He said, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, that is founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, you wonder what I'm talking to you about this morning. I'm talking to you about build up yourself in your most holy faith. Can you tell your neighbor, say, build up yourself. Build up yourself. I'm well cognizant of our time. But like I said, Monday is a public holiday. But that is not going to, that does not mean that I'm going to take so much time. Okay? So please, be relaxed. Because it's so important that we build up ourselves. That is why we come together. If we don't have need to build up ourselves, we can as well stay in our homes. The day we become born again, we just stay at home by ourselves. But we come together because we want to be built up. And when we look at where we read in Jude, verse 20, if you look at the way it is used, build up yourself. What is a verb? What's a verb? A verb is good. It's a doing word. I remember that was what we learned in primary 3. A verb is a doing word. And he's saying here, he's not talking about a building. He said, build up yourself. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. So it's a doing word. It's an action word. That is, you are not a passive participant, but you are an active participant in this process. That's what God is telling you and I this morning. And God is saying to us, instructing you and I, that we build up ourselves in our most holy faith. But how do I tie it in with where I read in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8? Jesus gave us this parable telling the disciples that it is very important that we keep praying. It's not just the prayer per se, but the fact that we need to be persistent as Christians. In our service to the Lord, there is need for persistence. In building up ourselves, there is need for persistence. You may slip back. You may fall. And you are just rising. There is need for what? For persistence. You may find yourself not where you ought to be. But I want to let you know that there is need for what? For persistence. So Jesus looked at a few things in that passage. And I'll just quickly go through them so we go to the meat of the talk this morning. The first thing that we'll see from Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8 is that Jesus recognizes that there is labor intensity involved. That was why he gave that parable. That there's labor to be labored, and it has to be intense. And when that labor becomes intense, it bears fruit. The second thing is that there's, like I said, there's need for persistence. The other thing is that Jesus wants us to understand that there will be obstacles to overcome. He also reminded us that in the world of faith, we are ultimately dealing with the Almighty God. Ultimately, we are dealing with the Almighty God. He said, how much more is your Heavenly Father? He will avenge you. In other words, he will hear you.
Not only will he hear you, he will make good his promises concerning you. He will make good your petition. He will answer your prayers. And he, in other words, he tells us about God's readiness or an assurance of his readiness to reward faith, to reward persistence. He said, do not be weary in well-doing, because in due season you will do what? You will reap the reward. But despite God's readiness to reward faith, Jesus finished that parable with a big question. And you just wonder, what is the link between what Jesus was saying and the last thing he said in that passage? He said, I tell you that he will avenge you speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? He was asking a question, as if he was in doubt what's going to happen. Shall he find faith on earth? And when I look at the question that Jesus was asking, and I look at the rate at which people get born again, and I look at the rate of the number of people that are in the church, and I look at, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about all churches, you know, the places I go, the programs I watch, and all these things. And for Jesus to have asked this question, didn't he know that so many people will be born again? If he knew that so many people would be born again, and he was asking that question at that time, and I believe he knew, then there's something between, there must be a difference between God, Jesus' kind of faith and the kind of faith we hold. In other words, there must be a difference between Jesus' standard of faith and our faith. For Jesus to have asked, when the Son of Man will come, shall he find faith on earth? And yet, millions are pouring in. But this is Jesus' question, which I believe takes account of your and my life in his presence today. And that is why I'm choosing to speak to us about build up yourself in your most holy faith. Because there is a kind of faith that we need to hold that will satisfy the criteria of Jesus' kind of faith. Otherwise, it will not be counted as faith. Because our calling is not as do it as you like. Our calling is do it as according to specifications. If there's anything we have learned from looking at the Old Testament all these weeks, it is the fact that God always has specifications for the things he wants us to do. You will not miss the mark in Jesus' name. Yet in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible tells us that God has given every man, to every man, he has given a measure of faith. So, God has given a measure of faith to every one of us. It's like a talent that we've been given to go and trade with. And if you go to trade with yours and it doesn't meet the mark, unfortunately, there is no midway. But when you trade with yours and it meets the mark, the master will welcome you home. He will be delighted with you. He will be happy with you. But he knows that the way of faith is going to be demanding. That was why Jesus asked that question after that very passage, showing the persistence of that woman and the fact that it is something that will, you know, that will require, it's not something we do passively, but it's something we do actively. Of course, you can't talk about a building up, without talking about a foundation. I'm not going to talk about building today. But let me just say one or two things. One of the biggest problems we have as Christians is foundational. We've talked about foundation in this church so many times. Let me tell you, if the foundation is not right, no matter the kind of materials you use to build on it, no matter how beautiful the edifice you build on it may be, it's a matter of time before it collapses. In this church, I used to know of a brother who would say, look, he said, I like eating meat. I like eating meat. In other words, he liked the strong words of God. And one day, I was asking myself, if somebody says, I like eating meat, first of all, you need to see the fruit of the fact that he had enough milk. Right? You need to see the fruit that he's not malnourished. If somebody is not well-founded on the principles and the words of God, no matter, you know, the kind of beautiful message you may preach to that person, it will come to nothing in the life of that person. Because the basic foundation, the foundational things are not there. It's a matter of time before it collapses. That is why as children of God, we need to check. We need to go back to some of those principles that we have been taught. I don't know where we got born again. But where I got born again, we used to have faith clinic. We used to have GASM, God Army School of Ministry. We used to have places where we were actually trained. And as a church, we have a responsibility we haven't started yet. Because there is no point bringing people here every Sunday and just talking to them without building them up, without repairing the foundation. Because some people will come into this place and they come with error. And there has to be a repair. If we don't do that, whatever we build on it will come to nothing. That is why we need to build up ourselves. You need to come to a point where you are able to actively look at where you are and where you should be. Because when we look at the Amplified version of it, he said, you are like an edifice growing higher and higher. So another layer is added to you. Another layer is added to you. Another layer is added to you. And you are growing in the Lord. You will grow in Jesus' name. And of course, when you talk about building, you talk about foundation, you talk about the material for the building, you talk about the finishing. We are not going to go into that today. But I just want to say that oftentimes we tend to pay attention to the finishing. We like the finishing, the color with which it's painted, the ornament, you know. When you come into the house, you want to look at the kitchen. The women, they love the kitchen, praise the Lord. You know, you want to look at all the doors, you want to look at... Without, and unfortunately, the foundation is the place we never get to see. Until cracks begin to appear. And many times, it's just too late. You may need to pull down the whole building. And I remember there was a time we were praying here. That is why it is good to have, you know, an active intercessory team. We were praying here. We pray for foundational changes in this church. And some things came collapsing. After that, within 2-3 weeks, some things came crashing. And we knew God wanted to build something. God will build something in your life in Jesus' name. It can be very painful. But sometimes it needs to collapse for God to build to specification. So today I'm going to share with us some of the things that are faith builders. I'll quickly share with us some of the things that I call faith builders. That are important ingredients in our lives if we are going to be where God wants us to be. And of course, you cannot talk about faith builders without talking about the Word of God. The Bible makes us to understand in Romans 10, verse 17, it said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. And of course, we already know, I mean, there's no need belaboring the issue, the fact that what you hear has impact upon your life. What you hear continuously is what you get conformed to. I happen to be in a profession where I hear people, look, for me, word means a lot. What you say means a lot to me. Because I've seen the power of word in people's lives. I've seen people destroy because of what has been said to them. I've seen people built up because of what has been said to them. But for the Word of God, we build you up. The Word of God will refine you. The Word of God will meet your need. The Word of God will be the miracle you are waiting for if you take time to get acquainted with the Word of God. So it is very important that we hear the Word of God repeatedly through whatever means, whether by tape, whatever you can do to hear the Word of God. Don't let the enemy deprive you of the Word of God. You know what? When you are not hearing God, when you are not hearing the Word of God, you will be hearing something else. So you are either hearing the word of the enemy or you are hearing the Word of God. And every avenue or every opportunity he has to take away the word from you, he will be speaking his own words to you. And of course, it's not just enough to hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of God with the correct attitude. With the correct what? The correct attitude. When you look at James chapter 1 verse 21, each time I read that place, I go over it over and over again. You know, because it means a lot to me. I really want to understand that place. James chapter 1 verse 21. It tells us about the importance of the word. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Naughtiness is wickedness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So, in other words, if the word of God is going to have its way in your life, there is an attitude that makes the word work. What's the attitude? An attitude of meekness. An attitude of meekness. An attitude of humility. Allowing God to do what he wants to do in your life. He said, the engrafted means the ingrained word. A word, how does it become ingrained? When you've heard it so many times. When you've heard it so many times. So much so that it becomes part of your soul. It becomes ingrained. It becomes engrafted into you. But the word cannot be engrafted in haughty hearts, in high-mindedness, in people who are proud. So there's an attitude of humility. And then when we hear, we must hear with a view to seek to understand the mind of God. So it's not just our humility, but we must hear with a view to understand the mind of God. If it's about your finance, understand the mind of God concerning your finance. If it's about your home, understand the mind of God concerning your home. If it's about your health, understand the mind of God concerning your health. Remember that the emphasis is understanding. You know why? Because the devil is not troubled by your knowledge. Is he? The devil is not troubled by your knowledge. The area he attacks is the area of your understanding. How do I know this? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, did they have knowledge? Did they have knowledge? Yes, they did. Because God has told them specifically, he knew. He said, of all the plants in this place, in this garden, you can eat except this one. So they had knowledge. It was not a problem of knowledge. But the problem was the problem of understanding. And I'm telling you, one of the areas that the enemy attacks most in Christendom is the area of understanding. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. So it's not just enough. Look, you hear a lot of people quote verses, quote scriptures, and so on, but you will know that they don't have understanding. How will you know? Because they do not make their life subject to that word. The day they understand what the will of God is, as the Bible asks us to do, that day you become submissive to the word of God. Look at in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It's not the blindness of their brain. They may have knowledge. It's not blindness of the brain. They have knowledge. But the understanding of what the will of God is so crucial if you are going to be built up. And I'm telling you something. Why you can work hard to get knowledge. Understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Everyone that God has had to deal with, it takes the revelation of the Spirit of God for them to be who God wants them to be. Understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. You can go to the same school, do the same thing. You have knowledge of it. But somebody talks about it. When I was doing neurology in USAID, there used to be a professor, but some of us will probably know Professor Shuntokun. He used to be the professor of professors, because when he come at the grand run, after everybody has presented, he would then lecture all the other professors. Because he had understanding. God will give you understanding in Jesus' name. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Why understanding is so important? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Let me just read something to you there. What God is saying concerning understanding. Listen to this. Say, brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it in malice, be ye children, but in understanding, be men. What is that supposed to mean? You know how we say that the kingdom of God is for children. Amen? In other words, we readily receive the things of God. Readily absorb the things of God. He said, but when it comes to understanding the will of God, so it's not just that you receive. A mark of growth is in developing understanding. So you cannot stay on the same spot year in, year out. You can't be born again for 5 years and still behave the same way you were behaving when you were just 1 year old in the Lord. He said, when it comes to understanding, you cannot be like, you know, like children. There has to be a maturity that comes from knowing him. And it comes from knowing the word and allowing the Spirit of God to minister to you. You know what I've observed? A lot of us Christians, we never grow past the adolescent stage with the Lord. One of the big achievements of adolescency, of adolescent, is what is called separation and individuation. Some of us, we already know what it is. You know the way an adolescent will behave. Mom, take me out for drama. Mom, take me to the movies. Mom, buy this for me. Dad, buy that for me. Do this for me. Do that for me. But when you make a suggestion and you say to them, you need to do this, no. They are in a conflict. They want to be independent. At the same time, they want to receive from you. Are we not like that? We want to be completely independent, but when it comes to receiving from the Lord, we want to be able to call upon the Lord and ask God to do something. we get stagnated in the adolescent phase of our development with the Lord. We crave our independence. We want to have things our own way. But at the same time, we want him to supply all our needs. And we begin to, when we seriously need something, I know my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This, oh, that's what my daughter does that to me. She says, bring this. And when I make such, I say, look, I just tell her, I say, daddy is very good for providing, but daddy is not good for his opinions. God's opinion will count in your life in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us, it says, as long as the hair is a baby. He said, the hair is like what? Like a servant. Because it does not know its right from its left. So as long as we remain a baby, the enemy can steal from us, he can plunder us, he can do whatever he likes with us until we get an understanding. You see why knowledge is so important. You may know that your father is a king until you have an understanding that you can exercise your authority. Like I've told us before, Moses had that staff with him. He knew that he was carrying his staff all this while. Until there was a revelation to him that he could do something with the staff he was carrying, he was just wandering the place and not maximizing his potential. You will maximize your potential in the mighty name of Jesus. Knowledge, like I said, comes from searching. Understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. If we are going to be built up, we need to be a praying people. Of course, we know that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says we should pray without ceasing. Prayer is our declaration of dependency and our willingness to partner with God. When you combine that with your obedience, things will start to fall onto you in pleasant places. In building your faith, in building yourself in your faith, you need to know who you company with. We all know Psalm 1 verse 1 now. It tells us who to company with. We also know that iron sharpeneth iron, that the man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If you want to build yourself up, surround yourself with godly people. Surround yourself with godly people. Surround yourself with people who say, with God, it is possible. Surround yourself with people who will agree with you that your God can do it in your life. Surround yourself with people who love the Lord. You will know who loves the Lord from who doesn't love the Lord. It's a matter of time. You know, some people will say, oh, yes, you see, when I wanted to marry that man, I didn't really know the kind of person he is. Or when I wanted to marry that woman, I didn't even know the kind of person he is. That, my friend, I never knew he was capable of doing this. Do you know what I tell them? I said, it is not true. The problem is that you didn't open your eyes wide enough. You know how you know your friend? Look at the way they treat people who are not their friends. The day they fall out with you, they will treat you exactly the same way. Look at the way they do things. It may not affect you directly at that time, and you take it for granted, oh, you know, and you laugh at it. After the laughter, go back home and think very well that when, if the shoe is on the other side, would they do this to me? So we always know who we company with. You will know whether they stand or not. You will know whether they love the things of the Lord or not. Let's go to Haggai chapter 1. And I'll quickly read a few things there. You know those who love the Lord? The people who love the Lord, They will not fall into a particular category. Please, if you get there before me, can you quickly read Haggai chapter 1, verse 2? Okay, I'm there. Okay, please, let me not disadvantage you. Let me quickly read. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time is not yet come that the Lord's house should be built, should be rebuilt, although Cyrus had ordered it done 18 years before. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. You have so much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared. You can go on and on and on. How will you? What am I saying? You will know those who love the Lord. When somebody have the, you know, when an individual prefers themselves to the things of God, when the things of God don't take priority in our lives, God is saying we should consider our ways. Consider where you were before. An average person, we've been in a situation in this church before where, look, an average person will take about maybe a week, a month to open an account. We were in this church 2-3 years. We wanted to open an account. It was impossible. It was impossible. We couldn't. And God is saying, you cannot hold back what God needs, what needs to be done in the house of God. It needs to be set as priority. He said, consider your ways. So in other words, do not company with people who treat the king, the things of God, with levity. Who encourage you to treat the things of God with levity. Who see the things of God as a means of personal just glorification. The other thing I want you to know is that if you want to build your faith or build up yourself in your faith, recognize opportunities in obscurity. You want me to take that again? Recognize opportunities in obscurity. Usually while you are going through it. Because the blessings of God often come in what? In obscurity. Somebody said, without an ugly problem, you cannot have a beautiful miracle. But if you get carried away by the circumstance, by the button that situation is pressing in your life, you will never make it. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the confusion, recognize the hand of God in it. And the other thing that is close to it is that you have to actively search for God's signature or handwriting in every event of your life. Every event of your life, look for the handwriting of God in it. I shared with the very many of us that were at the house fellowship how God told me one day, you know, we were going through something very, it was something to do with the church. And God spoke to me. He asked me to go and read John chapter 6, verse 20. And I read, and it says, he said unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. So, in everything that is going on in your life, begin to look for the hand of God. Look for his signature. Ask him where he stands. Ask him what he has to say concerning that situation. Another faith builder is to, when you love to tell and to listen to testimonies, we know what the Bible says in Revelation, that we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb
and by the words of our testimony. The Bible also said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you are going to have your breakthrough, you need to confess your breakthrough. And this is very important. Number 7, it says, maintain a teachable spirit. If God is going to be able to walk with you, you have to maintain a teachable spirit. One of the conditions that Paul gave to Timothy and also to Titus, he said, look, if you're going to appoint any man to be a bishop or a deacon or whatever, he said, such a man must be what? Must be teachable. If you are not teachable, God cannot walk with you, through you, or by you. You know the spirit that is not teachable? Is the spirit of Balaam. How many of us remember Balaam? Is the spirit of independence. Balaam was that prophet that Balak asked to curse the children of Israel. When you go to Numbers, I think 23 or thereabout. He was the prophet that was asked to curse the children of Israel. What did he do? He proceeded. He actually wanted to curse them. You know the problem with him? Well, that he has no cross-referencing with anybody. Every child of God must be what? Must be teachable. It's not just the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You must have some authority that, you know, you can cross-reference with. I'm sure you'll be asking me, who do I cross-reference with? Praise the Lord. I have people I cross-reference with too. Very elderly people, people who have been in the ministry, people who have, you know, seen the power of God and have things happen in their lives and teach this word. Otherwise, we run the risk of running into error. Of course, the spirit of Balaam is a very common spirit now in the church. And another common spirit is the spirit of Jezebel. Do you know what it does? I've told us before. It's the spirit that intimidates for the purpose of what? For the purpose of control. What did he do to Naboth? Intimidated him for the purpose of control. God will deliver you in Jesus' name. I say he will deliver you in Jesus' name. That is why God has set up the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. That's why God has set up the church, so that the people can be built up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he says, and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, that is special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expanders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Look at verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. So there's a provision in the church for you to be built up, so that you can go out there and be ministers of Christ. So that you can go out there and be people who are able to represent Jesus. He will build you up in Jesus' name. And I said, look, there's so much edification in the church without so much perfection. We like being built up. We come on Sunday, we get encouraged, we are lifted up, we say, ooh. And there is no movement towards perfection. It has to be balanced. It has to be balanced. The other thing, I'll just rush through the rest. Maintain a long-term outlook on life. Have eternity as your focus. Long-term outlook on life. You will notice that these days, a lot of Christians, we have short-term outlook on life. The current discomfort prevents us from doing what is necessary for where we are going. That was one of the questions that was asked this morning. The exigencies of the moment, we don't have long-term outlook to life. You know, we are in a world where we problem-solving, just solve the problem now. Solve problem today. We don't have a long-term outlook. I told us, I care about people's souls. I care about where we are going. And that is what motivates me. If I have to confront somebody and say, look, God does not want this. It's not because I like people. I don't like making enemies. I've said it before. I like people liking me too. If possible, even sing my praises. Praise the Lord. But sometimes I have to make a choice between satisfying you and displeasing God. And we are told this morning that if you keep quiet, it's as good as lying. Praise God. You know what? A lot of people destroy their eternity in order to meet immediate or pressing needs. Is it not common? Immediate pressing needs. We want to meet it, and in the process, we destroy eternity. We destroy where we are going. And with that attitude, we'll find out that because of immediate needs, sometimes we destroy even the life of children, we destroy the faith of other people, we destroy jobs, we destroy destinies, even marriages. Because of immediate, you know, the comfort, the discomfort of now. Nobody is being taught patience anymore. The passage we read shows that woman of persistence. Jesus asked, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he meet faith on earth? And you also need to see, but number 9, see every aspect of your life as an extension of your relationship with God. Your job, your relationship with others. And I must say this, including your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your husband, your relationship with people who are close to you, your mother, your father, everybody. You must see that as an extension of your relationship with God. Do you know why? So that you don't take people for granted. And in the process, you will commit an error. Because it's the same yardstick with which God will measure your relationship with others that will measure your relationship with people who are close to you. So if you cheat them, God will not say, because it's your father. He didn't define lie differently. Say, if you lie to your father, it's okay. If you lie to your friend, it's okay. No. It's still the same. So, see every aspect of your life as an extension of your relationship with God. Because we will all give account one day. And of course, we must learn to look with the eye of the Spirit. Remember that the things of the Spirit are not always quantifiable. They are not always tangible. In fact, sometimes they are not always rational. And everyone who wants to be built up in his faith must have a recovery program or plan in the event of a drop in your altitude. When we go into the plane, they tell us, should the oxygen concentration drop? You see a mask appearing before you. What is that mask? We were told this morning from 1 John. He said, if we say we have no sin in us, we lie. But if we confess our sin, he's what? He's just enough to forgive us of all our iniquities. He's able to restore you like nothing has happened before. That's your oxygen mask. So everybody must know how to recognize
when their oxygen saturation is dropping, when you are becoming too bitter. And I'm telling you, when you do the work of God, if you are not careful, you become bitter. I'm telling you. You will become bitter. You, can you imagine if you are Jesus and you are dying for people on the cross and they are abusing you and spitting at you? It's the same thing. If the master has gone through that, you will go through that. You must recognize when you are becoming bitter, unforgiving, and beginning to use fleshly devices to get to as a means to getting what you want. So in other words, you have a barometer for measuring when you just say, look, I'm going out too far here. Call yourself back in. And of course, and I think this is very important, separate God from human system designed to enhance our service to God. Is it clear? If it's not clear, I say, please, try to separate God from human systems that are actually designed to help in our worship of God. Because sometimes we confuse the system with God himself, and they are not the same thing. A lot of people go to church and they say, look, I got offended by what the pastor did. I got offended by what that sister did. That's the church. That's part of the system that we use as an avenue to become what God wants us to be. But that is not God himself. Ensure that in all that you do, that you don't have a break in communication. You don't have a break in relationship, in fellowship with God. It's very important. Because what happens is this. If you are going to be built up and to be what God wants you to be, and you are in a place where you confuse the system with God himself, and you are not able to fully function and do what God wants you to do, you'll be selling yourself short. Not only that, not only will you be selling yourself short, do you know what will happen? Because there is a root of bitterness, it doesn't take long to spread to other people around. It doesn't take long before you spread it around to other people. Because we are asked, you say, building up yourself in your most holy faith. In your most holy faith. For example, if you are in a church where you think, look, you cannot submit to the leadership of that church, and the differences are such so irreconcilable, sometimes it may be good to move on. Unfortunately. But the problem is this. If you have not fixed that problem, you may go to 30 churches, go to 100 churches, it will repeat itself. It will still be there until you fix it and reconcile with God and be, you know, so that you can worship him freely. It's a build up yourself in your most holy faith. It is not just running the race. It is how we run the race. And most importantly, how we finish the race. You will finish well in the mighty name of Jesus. I say you will finish well in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to believe I've given us some tips on how to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And I believe that God will give us the grace to follow through. Some of us who make notes, you can go through this and go over and over it. It is something, by the grace of God, that I believe I've been led to labor to put together for us. And it's something that I'm looking at myself and adhering to. It's very important. Can we just rise on our feet? Please, can we have the Holy Communion? Please, can we have the Holy Communion tray, please? Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. Mighty warrior who is great in battle. Jehovah is your name. Please, when you take the bread, please just eat it and hold the wine, please. Just hold the wine and we'll drink together at once. Jehovah is your name. Mighty warrior with great in battle. Jehovah is your El Shaddai is your name. El Shaddai is your. El Shaddai is your name. El Shaddai is your name. Mighty warrior who's great in battle. El Shaddai is your. Elohim is your name. Elohim is your. Elohim is your name. Elohim is your name. Mighty warrior who's great in battle. Elohim is your. El Gibbos is your name. 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 Mighty warrior who's great in battle. El Gibbos is your name. Elohim is your name. Elohim is your. Elohim is your name. Elohim is your name. Mighty warrior who's great in battle. Elohim is your. El Shaddai is your name. El Shaddai is your. El Shaddai is your name. El Shaddai is your name. Oh, mighty warrior who's great in battle. El Shaddai is your name. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord. Because he's El Shaddai. He's the God who can give you victory. I want you to begin to speak to him now. You want victory in any area of your life, begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to seek his face. And I want to tell you that which he will do in your life will build you up. That which he will do in your life will lift you up. That which he will do in your life will take you a step higher. Just begin to speak to him. Begin to speak to him. You cannot come before him and remain the same. You cannot dine with him and be the same. You cannot eat with the Almighty God and go home the same way you have come. Is there any area of your life that is not right before him? Right now, as you eat with the Lord will bring back correction. The Lord will bring them back to their original setting. It could be a physical thing. It could be an emotional thing. It could be a psychological thing. It could be a spiritual thing. And I want to let you know that you, as you eat with the Almighty God, he is here to touch you. He is here to touch you. He is here to do you good. Begin to speak to the Lord right now. Speak to him. Speak to him. Speak to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your visitation here this morning. In Jesus' name. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He touched me. Yes, he touched me. Now, oh, that filled my soul. Something happened, and I know He touched me and made me whole. Please, is any child sick in the church? Please, is there any child that is sick in the church? Is there a child that is sick in the church? We can give them the wine, please. Oh, no, I know He touched me and made me whole. Please, is there any child in the church that is sick? Just bring them in and give them part of the wine, please. Give them wine. Means something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Please, can we give wine to these kids, please? Who has the wine? Please give it to them. Lord, I feel my soul. Something happened, and I know He touched me and made me whole. Please drink. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for this time in Your presence. We thank You because of your glory in this place. We thank You for Your touch upon every life here. We thank You because there has been a build up this morning. We thank You because there is a restoration in this place today. We thank You, O Lord, because there is a hope for the future. My Father, my God, every word that You have spoken, they have gone out like the hammer that breaks into pieces. They have gone out like the fire that refines. Lord, Your fire will refine us today in Jesus' name. Lord, Your fire will not destroy us, but will build us up in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every dross, let every death be removed in Jesus' name. Lord, we will live a life that is worthy of our calling. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, so that we can move into the realm of Your blessings for our lives. Father, I lift up everyone who has eaten of Your flesh and drank of Your blood by faith today. Lord, I ask, O Lord, that any area of their life that has been difficult to them before now, Lord Jesus, there will be an easy passage from today in the mighty name of Jesus. I said there will be an easy passage in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone that is sick in their body and they are taking part in dining with You, O Lord, they will go home whole in Jesus' name. I said you will go home whole in Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord